We're going to be Acts 19 today. We're going to look at verses 1 through 20. But before we do that, let's open up with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and we ask, dear Lord, that you'd be our teacher tonight by your Holy Spirit to bring out those things within your word that you know that we need, that refreshment for the week, in the middle of the week, that guidance, that correction, whatever your word is, Lord, to us, help us to have ears that hear and hearts that apply what you say. As we go into your word, Lord, let us look only for you and your intentions, your desires, that ours would become conformed to yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last we looked into Acts 18, we looked at Paul's return to Antioch, and we saw the ministry of Apollos, who had known something of Jesus through the teaching of John, but did not know the full truth, so that was explained to him more accurately by Priscilla and Aquila. Now, Paul is going to be in Ephesus. So let's just start in verse 1. We're going to read through 20, and then we'll kind of come back and look at it as in a verse by verse to see what we have here. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, that'd be the northern route through, not along the coast, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "We have not so much heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And on to verse 8. As he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years. So that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And when they counted up the value of them, it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. As I was looking through this section of Scripture, the Lord impressed upon me the way that man looks at things in a superstitious sort of way, and the way that the Lord looks at things by the Spirit, and how we are to come away from the superstitions of men and to the Lord, in whom there is real power. As we begin here in Acts 19, and it gives a little recap while Apollos is in Corinth, clearing up, because before it stated that he was in Achaia, which is the region, Corinth is now the specific spot. While Apollos is there and putting on a very good work of the Lord, now that he has a better understanding of Christ, Paul is doing the same thing in this region of Ephesus that he was not allowed to go into before. Remember, when he wanted to go there, the Holy Spirit resisted him, didn't allow him to go. And since he was obedient to the Spirit, he did not go. Again, one of those situations where the Lord's saying, wait, the time is not yet ready. But now, he comes directly. Paul, having passed through the upper regions, we would think of this as more the central part of what we would call today Turkey, or what they called at that time Asia, the eastern part of it, Asia Minor. As he came through there to that region of Ephesus, he found there in Ephesus, now Ephesus at this point in time is not as major a city as it once had been. It is the capital of the region of Asia, but it's already kind of past its zenith, if you will. It's on a decline as a city. Finding there some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now that question in itself gives you an indication into Paul. As he's in tune with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's allowing him to see that there's something missing in these men. Something missing in what they've received from the Lord, and he's going to get to the heart of what it is. Something for us to keep into consideration as well. When we talk with someone, what is their understanding? Is their understanding of God complete? And has the Lord brought us to them so that, like Priscilla and Aquila, we can explain more accurately the things of Christ? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said to him, we have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Their knowledge of God is limited. He said to them, into what then were you baptized? Apparently he's gotten into that far into the conversation with them already to know that they were baptized. They replied, so they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance. Now remember, it was John who was the one who was to prepare the way. And to prepare the way to Christ is to prepare the road of repentance, to come to the Lord the right way. And there's only one way. That is, in confession of sin, openness of heart, ready to receive what the Lord only can give, because he alone paid for every sin. John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance. Of course, that was his job at the time. Saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. Remember, John himself said, he must increase, meaning Christ, and I must decrease. They should believe in him who would come after, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You can see the readiness of heart. It's already there. Having accepted the baptism of John, which is to repentance, that heart is still there, still ready. and very much in the same place that Apollos had been in the previous chapter. He knew only of John's baptism. He knew only of that call to repentance and that one was there, had come but didn't know about him. Here they didn't seem to know about him, but again their heart was ready. Oftentimes, with the people that we run into, it's merely the introduction to Christ that needs to be given, because the Lord may have been working on their heart through His Spirit for some time. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, these are holy hands, not wrathful ones, when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Of course, this will remind us of Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit. It will also remind us of Acts chapter 10, where at Caesarea, the same way the Holy Spirit was given. Here it does mention speaking in tongues. Does that accompany every time this occurs? No. When the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8 receive the Holy Spirit, it mentions nothing of tongues. But as there is a parallel in what happened there to what's happening here, let's take a look back at Acts chapter 8. Let's actually pick up in verse 9. Because we're going to see that the people in Ephesus have a problem with magic. And as there's an issue also in Acts chapter 8 with that, let's pick up there. There was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, some of what we learn about Simon is he was a bit of a charlatan in the ways that he did things. Verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Again, no mention here in this particular spot of tongues or prophesying, but that they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that through the laying of hands of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." The very things that cause people to go after anything possible, whether it is superstitious, whether, like in Ezekiel, it is the women who sewed charms to cover their hands, every single joint of their hand, or elsewhere. People will often, when they're desperate, run to the wrong things. Think of the woman who had the issue of blood, going to doctors continuously, and it only got worse for 12 years. Let us turn to the Lord in all things. When Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Truth makes the difference. Even Simon saw the difference of the truth, of what was real as opposed to what was a trick. Now it says the men were about 12 in all. They will be called disciples in a moment, the students, learners. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly, this is Paul now, boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, notice what order that's in. They were first hardened, and then their choices made. They didn't allow their heart to be open to the Lord, but spoke evil of the way. Now, this is a reference to Christ, the church, the gospel. Followers of the way, they were referred to. But they spoke evil of the way before the multitude. So, as he had done many times before, he departed from there and withdrew the disciples, that'd be those 12 men. And he reasoned daily in the school of Tyrannus. One thing that might help to know, their work day, they worked until 11 a.m., roughly. And then they would take the next 5 hours, the hottest part of the day, off and come back to work at about 4. So during this time, that likely would have been the time that Tyrannus' school would have been let out and Paul would have had the opportunity to come teach. This continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Quite a ministry and quite a time. We know that later in time, John would come to this city of Ephesus, as Timothy would precede him. Verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. And the first thing I want us to do is put on our observation cap, if you will. These are not miracles done by Paul. It says, now God worked unusual miracles. We know it is his hand and his power, so let's keep that always in mind, lest we, like the Corinthian church, say that we're of Paul, we're of Apollos, we're of this one, we're of that one. These are unusual miracles. And I think the Bible puts that out to remind us of something that Jesus said, that those who would follow after him would do the same things that he did and greater. And these sort of unusual miracles by the hand of Paul are this, so that even handkerchiefs, or literally sweatbands, or aprons, that which he tied around his waist, were brought from his body to the sick. And what happened? Diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. It reminds me of Peter and people getting just where his shadow would cast over them. And that can be where a person is in that place of desperation, that they're going from a superstitious type of background, but instead exercising faith for the first time. Going out of one and into another. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And this is that taste, that beginning. Unusual miracles. It says diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. So the power of the Lord working in this unusual way, he seems to reach certain groups. Reached Jerusalem in Acts 2, reached Samaria in Acts 8, reached the Gentiles in Acts 10, and again reaching here. Of course, he had reached in Corinth and elsewhere, but now really opening up Ephesus. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. Well-meaning people, those who are trying to help, but those who do not know the Lord Jesus. Well-meaning, seeing that something works, and by a desire to fall after, but not follow the Lord, they attempt to become involved. Again, sort of a superstitious belief without a true belief behind it. Let's see what happens when you don't truly believe in the Lord, but just try to go after him in your own way. The itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And we're going to learn what happened to them now. The evil spirit answered and said, one thing I would like to just interject quickly, it was something that I read sometime in the past, but does seem apropos when talking about evil spirits or about heaven. Was something Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "When you speak about heaven, lift up your arms and let your face glow. And when you speak about hell or the enemy, your normal face will do." So I'm not going to try to make this any meaner sounding by acting. The evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" Think about that. This is the enemy of God. Oh, yes, I know who Jesus is. And yes, because Paul has constantly been obeying Christ. Yeah, I know about him now. But for those whom there is no opposition, there is no need of knowledge. But who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. This isn't just a name that you can take any which way. This isn't words that you can simply throw out there, and we'll come back to that thought in just a moment. Fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. True power, true goodness, the true gospel of Christ dying for man. Being raised again from the dead to give us that newness of life. The Lord Jesus magnified. Remember, the Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power. Dynamic power. Verse 18. And many who had believed came confessing, that's that repentance, that need to get off your chest what you need to let the Lord know of where you're really at. They came confessing and telling their deeds. This is what I've been in. This is how I've been living my life. also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Those that had practiced magic. Now, interestingly, they have unearthed from that area books of magic. Guess what they contain? A lot of random words in random order. The magic of that day was nothing more than a charlatan's trick in those books. Something that someone could superstitiously believe in, like a horoscope. Well, maybe this will happen to me today. It didn't. They brought it together. Have you ever wondered how much money you've spent on folly and pursuing things that gave you no gain whatsoever toward heaven? Things that when the Lord looks at it, it'll be hay, that stubble that gets burned. They brought this up, 50,000 pieces of silver. Depending upon the amount that you use as a present day's wage, anywhere from $1 to $40 million in present money. A lot of money. But that's not what's important. What's important was, as Paul had said of being a Pharisee of Pharisees, that he counted it all loss to know Christ. They're looking at this and they're seeing that it is now utterly worthless. It doesn't have a monetary gain because they burned it as that which was profane, as part of their confession, which was repentance and getting away from those evil things, not letting them have a hold in them anymore. The Holy Spirit gives us the right guidance whether to go into or out of what we have got ourselves. Turn with me, actually, we have time. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. We're going to take a little look at David for a moment. Because the important thing to remember from this part of Acts isn't the superstition, it's the Holy Spirit pointing toward Christ. We're 2 Samuel 5, and let's pick up verse 17. David is going to have some encounters with the Philistines. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. David heard of it, went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord. Good start. And this is the tie-in. Do we look to the Lord? Do we look to the Holy Spirit to tell us and guide us into and out of the situation and problem that we're facing this week? He inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." Therefore he called the name of the place Baal Perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. The Philistines were superstitious, just like the Israelites had been before. The Israelites had brought the ark into the battle, thinking, we'll be invincible. Instead, they lost. It was taken. Philistines had their own troubles and sent it back. Now the Philistines are bringing their idols into this battle, their superstitions. They lose. It says, they left their images and David and his men carried them away. Before you think that David and his men are taking him home, well, I'll just remind you for time's sake. 1 Chronicles chapter 14 clearly states that David commanded his men to destroy these idols. So they're not taking them home to make it their own superstition. Going on, verse 22 here in 2 Samuel 5. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Same place. Now, if you're David, you're thinking, well, the Lord gave him to me once before. Why don't I just go in the same way you told me last time? David doesn't do that. David knows that the Lord can answer in different ways and at different times. So each time we're faced with something, if it seems like it's the same thing we've gone at a number of times, don't rely upon past experience. Rely upon present Holy Spirit, the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. Verse 23, therefore David inquired of the Lord. Again, back to a good start. He said, the Lord said, you shall not go up. Don't go the same way you did before, straight in. Circle around behind them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees, or it may say balsam trees in your Bible. Balsam's the larger name. Mulberry is one of the different pear, balsam, and such. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camps of the Philistines. Well, what sort of marching was going on in the trees? The Lord's host going on before. Remember, the Holy Spirit's there, ready, waiting to hear from us, to guide us in the way that we ought to go, to take us out of superstitious ideas, thoughts, stray wanderings of our mind, and to put us back upon Christ Jesus, to put us upon the right path, which the Holy Spirit always guides to Christ every time. We'll flip back to Acts 19 to finish. Verse 20. After these magic books had been burned and these people had confessed and repented, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Where did it grow? It didn't grow obscurely. God's word, the Son, cannot grow. So how did his word grow mightily and prevail? Grew in the hearts of those who believed. It prevailed over the enemy who tried to keep them blind with sin. The word of God prevailed, and it prevailed mightily. The next thing that you are faced with, the next test, turn to the Holy Spirit. Allow his word to prevail in a mighty way for you, to set you the right way, to give you the clear path, to give you the weight or the go-ahead, whatever his will is. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving us in places of doubt or gray area, but to bring us clearly to your word in all things, that we might know you, to know you better, to have strength in you, and that you would be glorified and magnified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.